Welcome to Art Waves. Later in the program, I'm discussing storytelling with longtime local storyteller musician Seabury Gould. He has a family literacy night performance coming up tomorrow at the Fortuna Library. First on the program today, the Del Norte Association for Cultural Awareness, otherwise known as DENACA, the Arts Council serving Del Norte County, and which is located in Crescent City, is presenting something new for its Arts for Veterans program. And that's what we're going to focus on. Barbara Genovese will hold a creative writing circle for veterans and their families Saturdays from January 13th through March 3rd, 1 to 3 p.m. at the Del Norte Senior Center in Crescent City. I have DENACA Executive Director Stephanie Wenning on the phone, and I'll follow that with Barbara Genovese, also by phone. Stephanie begins with information about the Arts for Veterans program.
DENACA's Arts for Veterans program, we're in our third year of being able to provide arts workshops and drum circles to the veterans and their families in our community here. My predecessor, Holly Austin, is the first one to have secured the grant from California Arts Council in order to provide this program, and it is through a grant called Veterans Initiative in the Arts. And basically, the intent behind it was just to be able to get veterans and their family members more involved in the arts community, whether that be, watching art in our performance series or creating art in our visual art classes or learning how to play guitar, kind of being able to provide a catharsis through the creative writing. The goal was really just to provide another resource to veterans in our community.
Now, did you talk with Holly at all about the process for securing this funding to begin with? Why DENACA wanted to do this type of program?
Well, she recognized that the veterans and their family members in our community were an underserved part of our community. Even now we still struggle to be able to reach all of them. There's several in the community, like a couple thousand, I would say. And we're really probably only serving about 10% of that. And a lot of that has to do with, outreach and having difficulty getting to them not on the internet. But from what I understood from what she had told me, the intent behind initially going after this grant was because it was recognized as an underserved part of our community. And DENACA's goal, is to inspire creativity for all of the arts in our community, and especially for the underserved parts.
How do you decide on what type of workshops you're going to be doing?
Well, that came down when we first started. Holly did a lot of legwork to ask the veterans themselves what they wanted to see out of the grant. And we received upwards of, 300 survey results, determining that workshops, number one, were what they wanted, and number two, that guitar and visual arts were very high on the list. Drum circles, well, that's not really a workshop. We consider it more of a demonstration. That was also ranked very high. And so the first year, that's what we started out with. And the surveys, we continue to pass them out to newcomers who haven't participated before. We continue getting evaluations from the people participating now, to find out, what we need to do to change it. And so the creative writing class kind of came about as part of that, realizing that, for the last 2 years we've been offering all the same workshops. Now we want to try and spread our wings and offer something new for these community members. So Barbara actually called me because she had recently moved to the area, and it was it worked out well.
The creative writing circle. So in the past 3 years that Denaka has had the Arts for Veterans program, have there been other writing workshops?
Nope, this is going to be the first one.
Ah.
The very first year, we did provide tickets to the North Coast Redwoods Writers Conference that takes place at the College of the Redwoods. But that's a very different thing from actually participating in a creative writing circle.
And as far as veterans, I'm curious, do you know, when we're talking veterans, I mean, are we talking veterans, some of whom go back to earlier wars in the 20th century?
Yes, we serve a wide variety of veterans and their family members. I would say probably the majority of our participants are veterans of either the Vietnam or Korean War, but we also have veterans from World War II, and of course family members. It's really important that I stress, you know, the family members are eligible to participate as well, because I've had several people, you know, asking about, well, can my daughter come with me to this class? And yes, of course.
And just finally, have you received, because you've been executive director for several months now, or is it more than a year now?
It's been a year and a half now.
Okay, a year and a half now. Have you received feedback from veterans and or their families? And what kind of feedback are you getting in terms of, you know, responses for the workshops that are ongoing?
Honestly, lots of really excellent feedback. We even were nominated by an anonymous person, but for the Chamber of Commerce as Nonprofit of the Year, and we specifically were cited that because of the veterans program. You know, I wouldn't say that the numbers we have are as high as I would like as far as participants go. I would love to see every single veteran in the community and their family members taking advantage of this, but the people who do participate, they get a lot out of it. I feel like I come back to this word a lot, but it really helps with catharsis and self-expression. And, you know, we all can benefit from that. And I think that being able to have the advantage of, you know, these classes and drum circles being free of charge, you know, it takes away a lot of barriers to learning, you know, an art form that could potentially help them with that.
And just to be clear, it's not wholly funded by the California Arts Council. It's only partially funded?
For the most part, it is funded. We do have to provide matching funds, but the California Arts Council are the funds that we use to pay the teaching artists.
And how much does the California Arts Council give you annually for this?
It depends on how well we write the grant.
Oh, okay.
This year, we're working with a $9,000 grant.
Mm.
The total amount possible is $10,000.
Well, very good. You almost made the $10,000.
Yeah. I was not too upset. I was pretty happy, actually. It was only my second grant written.
Oh, well, good for you. Congratulations. And congratulations on the work Denaka is doing.
We're really happy to be able to do it.
Denaka Executive Director Stephanie Wenning. And now, also by phone, Barbara Genovese about the Creative Writing Circle. She begins by talking about how she's going to structure the circle.
I'm basing it on a circle that I taught at the Portland VA to veterans with PTSD. And in Portland, I had to adhere to certain guidelines and principles set up by the Portland VA. One of them was a list of rights and responsibilities. So everybody in the circle has rights and they also have responsibilities. So, for example, there's complete confidentiality and trust within the circle. People can actively participate or they can simply listen. We'll begin and we'll end the meetings on time. People don't monopolize the discussion. So I have a list of 15 of these which were distributed to people who are interested so they understand how I'm structuring it. And then I outlined various exercises, ideas, things that I want the people in the circle to consider and play with. So there are some nonsense writing. There is some non-dominant hand writing. So if you write with the hand that you're not used to writing with, it's going to open up the other side of your brain. And I also have some backup exercises just in case life happens. I was living in Los Angeles when 9/11 happened, and I was in a playwriting group, and we had class scheduled that day, and it was canceled. And next week, everyone came in with a play about 9/11. So there's structure and there's also flexibility because stuff does happen.
Now, since this is a writing circle for veterans and their families, are you giving them writing prompts that are speaking to their experiences in the military or in war?
There are a few lessons designed around war literature, but I'm going to play that by ear because when I conducted the circle in Portland, I specifically kept away from the war. I gave them exercises and assignments to get the creative muscles moving. And at the end of the 8 weeks, those vets told me that some of them had not talked about the war since the Vietnam War. So I want to be very sensitive and careful about it. So I'll need to see where the group is and what they want to do.
Now, this is open to the families as well. Do you have exercises where you, say, give a writing prompt where the veteran will write about an experience and then the family member might write a reaction or a question? I'm wondering about the interchange between families and veterans and what you do with that.
That's a great idea, and I'll need to see how many of the family members come along and see if they're open to that. So again, I want to be sensitive because there may be something that the veteran doesn't want to talk about to his family. I had one veteran at the Portland VA that told me with tears streaming down his cheek, he said, "Barbara, you just don't understand. We have killed people." And it was all I could do to stay silent and be a witness and let him say what he needed to say. So part of my job and my responsibility is to be sensitive to what their needs are and what they want to talk about. And I'm going to balance it out with some nonsense writing. Get the muscles loosened up. And there's this great exercise where you write a paragraph, every word of which begins with a letter of the alphabet, and you start with A and you go to Z. So for example, all big calls demand elongated fidelity. So you've got A, B, C, D, E, F, and you go on like that through the end of the alphabet. And then there will be a juicy phrase or a couple of words that jump out at you. And then I will ask them to write and elaborate on that. Roald Dahl, the great children's writer, said a little nonsense now and then is relished by the wisest men. So I want to do some exercises to loosen them up and have them feel comfortable and have them feel safe. That's first and foremost in my mind.
Barbara Genovese, the Creative Writing Circle for Veterans and Their Families, is Saturdays from January 13th through March 3rd, 1 to 3 p.m., at the Del Norte Senior Center in Crescent City. Also letting you know, Dale Morgan's guitar classes will take place in the Fireside Room at VFW Hall from January 23rd through March 27th. Intermediate classes are from 5:15 to 6:15 p.m. And beginning classes are from 6:15 to 7:15 p.m. For more information and to register for any Arts for Veterans offering, you can contact Danaka at 464-1336, or you can visit Danaka, that's D-N-A-C-A, at harborside.com. I'm Wendy Butler. And this is Art Waves on KHSU. Up next, Seabury Gould, who will be featured for Humboldt Literacy Project and the Fortuna Library's Family Literacy Night tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. at the Fortuna Library. The musician, singer, and storyteller is well known to local audiences for his eclectic traditional songs and stories.
Some storytellers tell more in the way of personal stories, but I do prefer telling, folk tales, traditional stories. I often tell stories that are, Irish, Celtic stories, also fairy tales, sometimes Native American tales. Yeah.
Now, you're saying some people prefer telling personal stories. Well, I was thinking, especially if you're performing for children,
right,
very small children and families, you probably don't want to, tell a personal story about some sort of hellish event in your life.
Yes, some storytellers will develop a way of doing storytelling for children where, for example, he remembers when he was a little boy and he had this wonderful teacher and she inspired the class and they did creative activities and they went outside on field trips. But for myself, I find that the stories that have been handed down through the generations, traditional stories that have withstood the test of time, have been passed on by storytellers in the oral tradition, are the kinds of stories that I prefer to tell. And those are the types of stories I'll be telling Wednesday night.
What is an example of one of those stories that it is standing the test of time, is not outdated, that you're going to be telling?
Right. An example would be an Irish story, which is called Art, Niart, and Kiart, and it has to do with three brothers. And their father happens to be the king of Ireland. He wakes up in the morning and hears some beautiful heavenly music. He can't tell where it's coming from, and he asks his three sons to go and find where the music's coming from. And the youngest son, Art, is the one who ends up having really like the hero's journey. And he takes this journey into an underground, underworld place. And he's met by three old men at different stages of the journey. He eventually finds that the music is coming from the giant's castle, and it's played by a beautiful young woman who happens to be a princess. And then Art has this experience with the giant, where the giant says, we're going to play hide and seek. And anyway, by the end of the story, Art has not only found out where the beautiful music is coming from, but she is willing to go back with him back home to the castle there in Ireland, and Art gets half the kingdom, and so on and so forth. But that would be an example of an Irish story which has been handed down through the generations that I'll be telling.
What are the themes in that story that you're describing? Courage?
Yeah, courage, also callings, because sometimes we set out on an adventure, we accept a challenge, we go to places maybe we wouldn't ordinarily go, except that there's a calling to do that. And there's this turning point in the story when Art is with his two brothers and they see that the music, this beautiful heavenly music, for some reason is coming up from a hole in the ground, which is a very deep hole. And they realize it's coming from way down far below. And maybe most people would say, I'm not going to go there. Who wants to go down a deep, dark hole? But Art has that calling and he has that courage. And he feels like this is his journey to take, and he's going to find out whatever he finds out on this journey.
How young are your audiences, some of them? I mean, do you sometimes have children as young as 2-3 years old?
Yes, sometimes children are as young as 2 or 3 years old.
Do they get scared by a story like this?
I've never seen them get scared. I've seen them get caught up in the suspense a little bit, and taken in by the drama. And then the giant can sometimes have this big, relatively scary voice, like, what's going on here? What are you doing here? But even with different voices like that, when it's live and people can see, my facial expressions, it's more dramatic than scary.
Do you accompany with music? your stories?
I do. Yeah, with a lot of the storytelling that I do, I accompany with music, either with a guitar or a drum or a mbira. Some people call it African thumb piano. Or in the case of one story I like to tell, I intersperse it with flute because the flute is one of the main themes of that story.
And you also write your own music as well. Do you ever perform any of this music that you've written, your own?
Yeah, I play a lot of traditional music, but I also compose my own music, both instrumental music and also songs, like songwriting. And for a performance like this, I pretty much stick to the traditional material. However, when I'm playing music to try to imitate the sound of the harp, that'll be something original that I come up with. It's, you know, improvised, and it's something to try to capture that mood of so-called beautiful heavenly music, you know.
And you've been doing the performances for children and families for quite a while, right? A number of years?
Yeah, I've been doing this for 30 to 35 years.
That is quite a while.
Yeah, right.
So why do you keep doing it?
I found that especially while my daughter was growing up, she was so enchanted with the storytelling, and I told her many, many stories, and she had a voracious appetite for stories, and I found that it was so rewarding for her. And then also I was doing that with groups of children, you know, like in classrooms and in performances, and I feel that there's this other world that people enter into when listening to a story, and that there's the landscape of it, the aesthetic of it, the journey that takes place. And there's also, like in all of our lives, we come across in different forms trouble or danger, and how does that get resolved? So in these stories that I tell, it's part of the human condition. You know, sooner or later we all deal with trouble in one form or another, and then how do we get help? You know, in the case of stories, it might be a spirit animal, or it might be an old man or an old woman. And that process of taking the journey, being open to help, being open to guidance is very fascinating. And sometimes the hero's journey that takes place in a story, where I'm telling the story, it might be dramatic in places, and even the lead character of the story might be weeping at times or terrified at times, but he or she finds resolution.
What is one of your main goals with doing these types of performances?
One of my main goals is for people, young and old, to experience the enchantment that comes from storytelling, and to have the human experience of listening to another human being in a live setting, face to face. We can make some eye contact. And it's something that human beings have been doing for thousands of years, is telling stories perhaps around a fire, you know, around a hearth. But needless to say, last 100 years or so, there's been so much going on in the way of, you know, movies and TV and computer and on and on. And to have that human contact and to come back to storytelling, where it's a human being telling a story to people in an intimate setting like that, I feel like that kind of an experience is really important.
This performance is going to be on January 10th. Tomorrow, and it's at 6:30 at the Fortuna Library, but you have a performance coming up the following week?
Yes. The following week, on Wednesday, January 17th, I'll be doing a very similar program at the library in Eureka. That also starts at 6:30. Young children are welcome to come to that. It's what they call Family Literacy Night, and it's a wonderful kind of an event. I happen to be one of the North Coast storytellers, and other North Coast storytellers tell stories locally, including at the libraries and for different family literacy nights.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. And the only thing I was going to mention is that there's different musical performances that I do too, and sometimes solo, sometimes with a fiddler named Evan Morden doing Irish and Celtic music, sometimes with a Celtic trio called Crested Hens. And one of the things I love about living in Humboldt County is being able to share both my music and my storytelling with people young and old in a variety of different settings.
And if people want to find out more information about your performances and who you are, I believe you have a website.
Yeah, I do have a website, and it's my name, SeaburyGould.com. And so, and that's SeaburyGould.
Seabury Gould, performing for Humboldt Literacy Project and Fortuna Library's Family Literacy Night tomorrow, otherwise known as Wednesday, January 10th, at 6:30 p.m. at the Fortuna Library. This is a performance for an audience of all ages. All children attending are welcome to choose a free book after the show. For more information about Humboldt Literacy Project, you can phone 445-3655, or you can visit humlit.org. That's Art Waves. And join me for the next regular broadcast Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. Listen anytime online at khsu.org. Download podcasts of the program from iTunes. I'm Wendy Butler. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Bebop, the cool school, hard bop, 60s blue notes, the young lions. If it's straight ahead, you'll hear it on Gone Sides. Tuesday nights from 8 to 10 right here at 90.5 KHSU, your jazz station.
On Radiolab, you'll hear a lot of this.
No.
This whole notion is totally wrong.
Really?
But I thought...
No.
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 Wait.
Not quite.
But Einstein tells you...
That to me just seems...
But... So...
Jeez.
Come on.
But you'll also hear a lot of this.
Yes.
I think that's absolutely right.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's the ticket.
Tune in to Radiolab to hear us grapple with and sometimes understand the world's mysteries.
Tuesdays at 7 on KHSU.
You are listening to KHSU and KHSU HD 90.5 Arcata, KHSR 91.9 Crescent City, and KHSG 89.9 Garberville. Donors include Six Rivers Optical, offering a large selection of eyewear, sunglasses, and contact lenses. Same-day services available for prescriptions in stock. Six Rivers Optical, celebrating over 36 years of keeping life in focus. Open Monday through Saturday on Harrison Avenue next to Lima's Pharmacy in Eureka. Info at sixriversoptical.com. And English Express is teaching English in our Eureka, Fortuna, and Redway. Classes are open to all and childcare is available. Class schedules and info are at EnglishExpressHumboldt.org. English Express, bringing English and community to the people. A nonprofit Dreammaker project of the Ink People.
Greetings, friends. Pandemonium Jones here. Welcome to another installment of Mixed Messages. Every Tuesday from 2 to 4 right here on KHSU. Got lots of cool stuff today to play for you. Jams from around the world and across the eras. So I hope you'll stay with me. Starting off with a mellow dose of Swedish psych rock. This is called Peribanu Vision, and it's by Dungen, who were good enough to grace us Humboldtians